Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus. Well, we got some Karen stories, we got some calls, we got some teacher unions updates, and all that's coming first.
Back inside the toolbox, playing the greatest rock and roll to soothe the soul, so smoke a bowl and get out on the highway. Why is there such a great divide in our nation? I blame the Karate Kid. Left side safe, right side safe. Middle of the road, squash, just like Bug. I could wax on forever, but I only got 23 seconds for this diatribe. In the middle of the road, it may not be safe, but it's certainly sane on the toolbox.
In the middle of the road, it's trying to find me. I'm standing in the middle of life with my pants behind me. I got a smile for everyone I meet. As long as you don't tie dragging my bay or dropping a bomb on my street. Come on, baby. Oh, get in the road. Come on now. In the middle of the road.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. With Gina Grad on news, Bolt Bryan on sound effects, and a spirited round of the Rotten Tomatoes game. And now, unimpressed with the Mars footage, it looks just like his childhood lawn, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice, but got your mandate, you get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
Handball, Brian.
Let's play some games.
Oh, yeah. Brian took the last the Rotten Tomatoes game off, and Gina and I still lost.
Take it off.
Not fair, though.
Neither of you guys get to win.
It has an asterisk. Adam Ray went last. He split in between us. Doesn't count.
Understood.
Yeah. All right. So
it's good to have a sanctioned game going again.
We got that to get to. Max Pata did some top-notch produce. My God, that's producing, man. He found this woman on Reddit who befriended crows, and they defended her and attacked. You know, she had her own murder of attack crows.
Ooh.
So we're going to speak to her about how that worked coming up. I did a little fine art over the weekend, and I got the teachers' unions all hacked off at me. Now, here's the deal. First things first, I don't give a fuck about the teachers' union. Like, oh, Adam's worried about the teachers' union. I didn't like fucking teachers when I was in school. Mm-hmm. As I've said,
it was mutual.
Yeah, it's a pretty simple equation. Get an auditorium full of 1,000 people. Ask everyone, raise your hand if you had a teacher that changed your life. Everyone's hand will go up, and then ask them if you had two teachers that ever ever shaped your life. And most of the hands will go down. And by the time you get to four teachers, they're all down. So, yeah, okay, heroes. I had three good teachers out of 128 teachers. All right. So number one. this thing where it's like, well, we have to have this reverence for what? People that tapped out of life, who didn't want to join society, who basically went into the last bastion of socialism in this country. Fine. Okay. You're heroes. Now it's time to get the fuck back to work. Everyone else is back to work. Everyone but you. So I sent a tweet out that said either they don't want to go back to work or they're cowards. I don't know. Is there a third option? As far as teachers, LA Unified, not wanting to go back into the classroom, either they don't want to do it, which is a distinct possibility for many of them, or they're scared. What is the third option?
I don't know if this would be considered the third option, that they are scared and that is valid.
And we're all scared. Get the fuck back to work. Everyone's scared. I'm not scared, but everyone else is scared. Everyone's scared. The truck drivers are scared. People that work at Trader Joe's are scared. The people that work at the airport are scared. Cops are scared. Firemen are scared. Everyone's scared. Sanitation. Everyone's scared. Now get the fuck back to work. I thought that's what we did. I thought that was a society. Okay, everyone's scared. I don't know why we're scared at this point, but okay, everyone's scared. Do we want scared people teaching our kids? I don't want cowards teaching my kids. This is a big deal. This fear thing, it's a big fucking deal. I've been talking about this for a long time, this umbrella of fear. It's like, oh, we have zero tolerance for fear. I don't want a bunch of fucking pussies teaching my kids. Thank God they're impenetrable. As far as knowledge, but do you want fearful people? Do you want a bunch of fucking scared people teaching your kids? Do we want the guy from Lost in Space, who everyone thought was gay? Do we want those fucking people teaching our kids? I don't want cowards teaching my kids. Well, the good news is they're not really teaching my kids because they're not going back to fucking school. But okay, they're scared. Well, then who amongst us couldn't use that excuse? We're scared. Okay.
That's great.
Everyone works at a supermarket scared. Everyone who cooks at a kitchen is scared. Everyone who works in a hotel is scared. Every cop is scared. Like, everyone's scared. Okay. We're all scared. Now what? Now don't we have to weigh our responsibility and duties against whether... Shouldn't we weigh that against our fear?
Sure.
Yeah, my theory for the third option, like you raised, was I'll bet there are plenty of teachers. In fact, maybe the majority who would like to go back to work as safe or as soon as possible. But like we alluded to or arrived on a few times earlier, it's the union that's kind of strong.
It is the union. Tell your union
now you're not. Yeah, you may want to go back, but we're not having it.
Well, tell your union to fuck off then. Go push against your union then. It's your union. It's your union. It's like, oh well. First off, why do we have to parse this out? It's like, well, the teachers aren't cowards. They want to go back to work. It's their union. Well, then cowards, speak up against your union.
Talk to your rep and take a vote.
It's your union. At this point, when you've lost Gavin Newsom in the pussy debate, you're done. Even Gavin Newsom, the biggest pussy of all, is saying get back to work. That's the CDC, that's the WHO, that's Gavin Newsom, that's Fauci, that's everyone says get the fuck back to work. It's not like we don't have examples. Schools are open worldwide. Worldwide. And in many, many other states. Get the fuck back to work. And their thing is like, well, we don't like what you call us. Well, sorry, pussies. Stop being pussies if you don't want to be called a pussy. Get the fuck back to work. You're fucking with the kids. That's the whole thing. You're hurting the kids, heroes. Heroes. Scared heroes. Jesus Christ. Does anyone think about the kids? It's been a year. It's been a year. A lot of these kids are never going to come back from this. Get the fuck back to work. This thing is like, well, what about us? Like, what about our safety? What about the kids? I thought you got into it to help the kids because you allegedly cared about kids. Yes, it's the union, but it's the teachers' union. And if there was enough pushback from the union members, they would reverse their course. If the members of the union spoke up, then the leaders of the union would have to do their bidding. They're not speaking up. They have some things like everyone's got to be vaccinated. That's months. We've lost another year. They have all the stuff in place. We know what to do. Go do it.
And what, it's so funny, you know, because this is good news for anyone.
Or quit your fucking job. Quit then. If you don't want to do it, you're too big a fucking pussy to go back to work, then quit. Sorry, go ahead.
This is great news for anyone who's not a teacher. Because it's like, oh, we should have these vaccinations by April or May. Like, oh, that seems early. The school year's over.
That's another school year, yeah.
So, yeah, what did it matter?
First off, is there any science that going back to the class even causes anything? There's no science to that. There's no spread in the classes. Kids aren't vulnerable. There's nothing that backs up their cowardice. Where are the teachers that died? The whole rest of the country's open. Where are they? Where are the kids? Where are the teachers? Where's the body count? Where are the statistics? They don't have any statistics. They want to go back to fucking work. And my thing is, if you don't like being called cowards, then don't act like a coward. Or you shall be called a coward. Now, everyone else is a pussy because they pretend. They pretend like teachers do things, but they don't really care about teachers. Everyone just wants to be on the happy side of all this shit. But I got some tweets from the teachers union.
Yeah.
They have an official homepage or something?
Yeah, they have social accounts. And this is in your response to your tweet, which we'll just quote it here.
What does the official teacher union account exist for? What is it supposed to do aside from the
C-list comedians?
Got to settle the hash of C-list comedians.
Well, Adam's tweet was, LA teachers either don't want to go back to work or are cowards. Those are the only two options left.
At this point, those are the only two options left. It's not even a left-right thing anymore. The Faucis and the Gavin Newsoms are saying get back to work. So what is it? All right, go ahead.
All right, so what they did is they shared a picture of text, and I saw this picture going around. It's of your profile picture on Twitter, and it says, "Entitlement alert, Adam Carolla calls Los Angeles teachers cowards from his new $7.3 million mansion in La Cañada."
Well, first off, that makes me smarter than you imbeciles, because I got a mansion. So that's number one. I'm smarter than you guys. Thank you. Okay.
And then they've sent a few tweets out using that same picture. One of the tweets says, "Teachers are working, Adam Carolla, but congrats on being spared the devastation our communities face. The communities we serve have COVID-19 levels 15 times greater than those in your wealthy La Cañada neighborhood."
Yeah, that's why I moved, bitch.
What does the value of your home have to do with you calling them cowards? I mean, you can certainly take issue with you calling them cowards, but that's a weird
You got to make a decision these days when you disagree with someone. Like, do we play the race card or do we play the affluent card? Those are your two choices. When you go against somebody, you either have to call them something. It has something to do with being racist or something to do with being rich. Mm. That's the new angle. The new angle is like, you've got money. You live in an expensive house.
Yeah, so
what do you know?
What do I know?
Here's another tweet they sent along with that same picture. Who is the coward? The teachers who dare confront government officials and powerful business to fight for the health of their students and families? Or you, who sit safely in your La Cañada mansion criticizing what apparently you don't even understand?
Oh.
Teachers are working.
All right.
The idea being that you're holed up safely in your mansion.
Right.
They know you very well.
Yes, I'll be in Oklahoma City doing two shows Friday, two shows Saturday this weekend.
And don't get jealous of that cushy Southwest flight either.
Yes, I know. They just it's this elitism thing, this like, oh, you have money, so I'm going to try to shame you. Because, see, what works on everyone now is you just tell them they have money and then everyone backs off, or you call them a racist and they back off.
But the flaw in attacking the elitists or the elitism is everyone's, unless your kids in private school, I guess, but everyone's kids are affected by this regardless.
Yes. Well, thanks. First off, I'm literally a millionaire. No thanks to LA Unified. No fucking thanks to LA Unified.
You'd be without them.
Yes, yeah. You guys failed me horribly. We got more responses.
Yes, and then anybody who defended you in that tweet thread, they would just post more pictures of text. This one says, "In the communities we serve, 80% of the families live in poverty. More than 80% of families are Black and Latino, and the rates of COVID infection are significantly higher." And they keep punching the fact that most of their kids are Black and Latino. So
okay. Well, they're good. They're working the race angle. Thank God. All right. So the black and the Latinos can languish in their crappy apartments while you guys hammer checks. Thank you, heroes. This thing of like we're pushing back against who are they pushing back against? The big companies? Oh, me. But it's like big business and
government.
Yeah. The government is your government. It's the guy you gave all the money to, Gavin Newsom, wanting you to get back to work. That's your guy. You're not Trump's gone. It's Gavin Newsom now, and Biden.
And why? Yes. And why all the statistics about the impoverished children they serve are I guess important? It doesn't feel germane to what the interaction between you and them.
Feels like
it's out of left field.
Well, they're not. First off, they don't have a ton of logic. That's why they've decided to be LA Unified school teachers. And none of these guys are from the speech and debate team, evidently. I corrected them. I wrote back. I did not write that for my $7.3 million La Cunada mansion. I wrote that for my mansion in Malibu. So,
oh, boy.
Yeah. Well, you want clarity.
Yeah, right.
I was.
Let's be accurate. Yeah.
I did deliver that from my mansion in Malibu. So just for clarity, LA Unified. All right. Listen. Here's the whole thing. Nobody likes me anyway, so I don't give a fuck. So get the fuck back to work.
It's a purity.
You're free. You're free to be honest.
Yes, I'm free. I'm free.
Gene, I'll send you that $5. I shouldn't have guessed that Adam would be conciliatory and walk back his stance. That was foolish. I'll Venmo you.
The thing
why
is,
why did I take that bet?
Look, as far as I can tell, the only way they're not going back to work. Look, I think we've all seen over the last year or more that a drive, a notion, a movement can change things. And if we could rally the parents and the people of Los Angeles to start putting pressure on the teachers' unions, once they get very unpopular and they get on sort of the losing side of public opinion and social media. And if we could get a few notable people to come out of the woodwork and go against them, then they would feel pressured and they would cave like any industry, any business, anybody who's basically running. And so what they do is they hide under this veil of we're teachers and we're heroes and no one will fuck with us because we're sacred cows. But if enough people piped up, we could put pressure on them and they would go back to work.
You know what's interesting about that? We always talk about it. Everybody always talks about it from the top down. So, you know, why doesn't Newsom say something? Why doesn't Garcetti say something? Why doesn't Biden say something? But you're right. Because first of all, they don't want to not get reelected.
It's not a cause celeb.
Right. So when you go from the bottom up, people part of that union putting pressure on the people that represent them, that makes sense. I don't know why we're constantly looking at it from the other way around.
And we talk about optics a lot, but isn't the really bad optics for the union to be what we suspect using, let's say, the kids as pawns, basically to get a better deal or to get, I don't know what, a better CBU or a CBA, sorry, CBA. Like they're essentially using these kids like pawns.
Yeah, they don't care about kids. If they did, they'd be back to work. I mean, look. Also, you know, there are many places where they never close the schools. There's just many places in Europe and places in the United States where if they did close them, they close them for 10 minutes. They've been up for months and months and months. Months and months. We have all the data we need because every other school system has been open, ostensibly, except for LA Unified. So let's get back to work, heroes.
Yes. Can I say one more thing to your point? The other thing that's been going around is the new variant. There's a new variant or a couple new variants. They're not here, but what if they come here? So isn't that kind of proving the point that things as they are right now are safe? Because we're not really talking about what's safe now. We're talking about what might not be safe next.
Good point. And here's a little thought experiment, LA Unified school teachers and unions. About 10 minutes ago, Trump was saying, we're going to get a vaccine. And everyone was saying, no way. It's years. There's no way. They've never developed a vaccine faster than 4 years, you know. And then Trump was like, we're going to have one by Christmas. You know, this is in October or something, or maybe further back than that. And everyone is going, no, it's 2 years. It's 2 years minimum to create a vaccine.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what if we didn't have a vaccine? What if it was, as the experts said, if you go back 6 or 8 months ago, many experts were saying this is a 2-year process or this is a 3-year process. All right. So here's my thought experiment, LA Unified teachers. You're not going back without a vaccine. What if we didn't have a vaccine for 2 years? Then what? Well, because the criteria is you need to get a vaccine. So what if we didn't invent a vaccine? Everyone thought it was going to take 3 years. So what if we didn't have one? Would you just never go back to work? I'll let you.
The criteria would be yours.
Yes. I'll let you guys think about that. All right. Anyway, listen, I don't give two shits about the LA Unified School District. They're fucking horrible.
Yeah. And this is the United Teachers Los Angeles.
This is United Teachers. Yeah. All right. Oh. All right. Get the fuck back to work. So says me.
Speaking of which.
Yes.
You better not have run out of time to talk about Fine Arts Day with your daughter.
Oh, yeah. I did.
Speaking of school.
Yeah, I did Fine Arts Day, although I don't know what it was connected to.
I don't either. I just saw a picture that Lynette posted. I go, what in the hell is this?
We had Fine Arts Day, which is, I'm not going to tell you which is whose or whose is what's, but I haven't painted anything that wasn't, fascia or a deck or railing in, probably since I was in high school. So the way
this is like a paint and sip without the wine.
Yeah. It's like a father, daughter, Zoom, couple other father, daughters on there. One woman runs the class. She's got the computer.
Is this through school or is this extracurricular? Is this some sort of?
I think it's extracurricular as far as I can tell. I don't sweat the details, as you know. I just say, where do you want me? What are we doing?
No, that question was for Chris.
So I just showed up and Natalia got the paints and got the little canvas. The canvas were these little stretch boards, are probably 12 by 18 or 12 by 16 or something like that. And we just sat around the living room table. And then the woman who runs the Zoom art thing sort of says, all right, here's the brushes you're going to need, and you're going to need some water, and you're going to need this, and you're going to need that, and here's how we're going to start. Here's what it's supposed to look like.
And then you take it like piece by piece with her telling you how to do it.
Yeah, it's like
happy little trees.
Paint everything blue. So you paint everything blue. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's funny. All along the way, she just keeps going, it doesn't really matter what direction you go, and it doesn't really matter, and it doesn't really matter, and it's okay if you do this, and it's okay if you spill that or do that, and it doesn't really matter. Yeah, but at the end, your stuff looks like shit if it doesn't really matter all along the way. Like, at some point, it has to matter, sweetheart. She's always like, no, there's no right and there's no wrong. Oh, there is a right and a wrong.
It doesn't matter to her.
She's doing it right.
No, that is spoken like a teacher who's seen people mentally break the fuck down during these classes.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I'm sure
tears,
of it.
Tears.
The only good part of the whole experience was Natalia was seeing what her friends were doing, and it looked equally as shitty as what I was doing. So I felt better.
Bad. I'm trying to figure. I think I know which one is yours.
Well, there's two that are about the same. Where they were painting the Northern Lights, essentially.
Ah, yes. The Aurora Borealis.
Yes.
One on the right looks more sophisticated. So for that reason, I'll say that's Natalia's.
See, that's interesting. I thought the one on the right looked more kind of like black and white thinking, like these are what trees look like, and this is what a big swath of light looks like.
Well,
and
can you maybe pull up tighter, Maxipata? I don't know if you can do that. Or
the one
or
on
not.
The left, and this is a compliment to both of you, depending on whose it is, has more of a girlish whimsy.
Mm.
So I'm going to say that yours is on the right.
Well, Brian has me on the right. We'll put these up at AdamCarolla.com.
Yours is the one with the big wide white swath. Is that the one you're talking about, Brian?
I have Natalia on the right.
Natalia's on the right. And
Gina's guessing you're on the right.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm on the left. So Natalia is on the right.
There you go.
You have such a girlish whimsy about your tree.
I was taking a me day. I just kind of feeling pretty.
Oh, man.
Got my stipple on.
Yeah.
I'd love to get my
sure
stipple
did.
On. So,
look at those dreamy branches.
I know. We were just sitting there, and she was the lady instructor was putting us through our paces, and we were getting our paint on. Like I said, you know, this will fall under the heading of stuff you would never think to do or initiate yourself, but it's good for you. Yep. Like you're just sitting there, you got the paint. When's the last time anyone painted anything in earnest, like with a paintbrush, like try to paint a picture? I haven't done that since I was in high school.
The only time I've done this is at a bachelorette party where this was the activity. So yeah. I'm with you.
Covering up a hole in the wall.
Right.
I told
for me.
Yeah, I told Natalia I was a art major in high school, and she's like, "What?" I'm like, and I was like, "I was a ceramics major," and she's like, "That's not art."
Oh, how dare you! Wow.
That's what I said. How dare you?
Take it up with Demi Moore.
Fine art.
That's right. I know. So there it is. We'll put that up at amcurl.com. But it was nice. It was sitting and painting.
And where will those be displayed? And will you have new track lighting put in to highlight it?
Well, they definitely got to go on the refrigerator. That's the way.
A refrigerator?
It's refrigerator. It's kid art. Kid art goes on the refrigerator. Dawson ran into a Karen, so says he.
Ooh. Yeah. On Thursday, I was working in my backyard and. You know, I've been working with your guys over there, and they tore out the fence that separates my driveway from my backyard. So I have a wrought iron gate that I keep locked, but my dogs can get right up to the sidewalk. And the dog that was formerly known as the champ, now barely a contender, he has a nasty habit of running up on people and doing a lot of barking. And it's a little embarrassing, and especially now that there's no fence between the driveway and the gate. It happens quite often when people are walking their dogs on the sidewalk. Usually it's not a big deal. I run over there. I say, "I'm sorry about that. Dogs being dogs, you know, he's just protecting his property." Most people are cool with it. Some people give me a weird look. And this first time, this lady engaged me. So I went over there and I said, "Hey, sorry about that. You know, he's just being a dog. I hope it didn't scare you." She stands with her dog right at my fence while my dog is barking and starts yelling at me, asking me why I'm not telling my dog to be quiet. Then she says that if my dog got out, her dog would kick my dog's ass.
Jesus. Wow. That's uncalled for.
Bring it.
That's not necessary.
Wow.
And you know, at first I had apologized. I said, "I'm sorry," but now she's going to take it in a whole nother direction. So I'm just like, "Lady, just get out of here. I'm not talking to you."
Right. Beat it.
Just
beat
take it. A hike.
So wait, Dawson, so for information, there is a fence. The fence
there is yes. The, yes. There's a wrought iron gate that's separating everything. Everybody is safe and contained. And
she's out of line.
And I say, "Beat it, lady. I'm done with you. Get out of here." And she goes, "You get out of here." And I look around and I'm like, "Lady, I live here." And she goes, "I live here too." And I've been here 3 years. I've never seen you. But I just kind of throw up my hands and I tell Champ, "Good boy, Champ." And I go back to working in the yard. While this lady essentially is trying to instigate my dog getting into a fight with her dog. She's like, "Look at my dog. I can walk my dog around. My dog is calm." I'm like, "Lady, when I walk my dog, he does the same thing. You're on the border of my dog's property. Yeah. You're a threat."
I think that's pretty common for a dog to go nuts when another dog is right outside the fence. My dog does it. I own plenty of neighborhood dogs to do
it. It's a thing. And when you walk your dog around the neighborhood where you know dogs are going to do this, I always cross the street to mitigate any barking problems because I'm a respectful neighbor.
Speaking of mitigating, it's why you have a fence.
Yes.
Right.
But, Dawson, you still need to get a Gran Torino and park it in the driveway because I feel... That's where this is all going.
Yeah.
Befriend the Asian boy two houses down.
The monkey.
I would imagine. Now, this woman looked about 70. She had major, major plastic surgery.
That's
awesome. Her lips were huge. I think she was Armenian.
Oh, yeah.
But my whole neighborhood's Armenian, and we all love each other.
Well, this begs this question because I had a Karen. I got a Karen story myself. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back to some more Karen stories right after this.
Corolla Drinks fans, 2021 has arrived, and our mission from here on out is to make up for the miserable year that was 2020. The Corolla Family Barbecue was canceled. Mangria bar crawls were off the table. And any and all new products we wanted to roll out were put on hold. This year, that all changes. Case Club members from last year can look forward to a better Corolla Family Barbecue with more food, more booze, and more special musical guests. Plus, a signed bottle of Adam's new whiskey, 818 Rye. The barbecue is sold out, but if you decide to stay in this most exclusive club, or you're a first-time buyer, we're happy to announce... The Mangria Bar Crawl is back. That's right. The Friday before the barbecue will be packed with buses, booze, Lynette, and your favorite lackeys. This Corolla family weekend will be one you'll never forget. For the 3 and 6-pack tiers, we've got you covered. Along with your shipment, you'll receive a New Year Fixed Everything t-shirt featuring Adam amongst the rubble of the City of Angels. For more info on 818 Rye and the Wine Club tiers, head to CorollaDrinks.com and help us make 2021 a year to remember. And now, a tip from the 1965 issue of Good Housekeeping. 120 ways to please a man.
Neat dresser drawers are dear to a man's heart, and this you can manage with no special effort. Put his things back in order as you're putting away newly laundered shirts, socks, etc.
Just one of 120 ways to please a man. Take notes. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, I had a minor Karen story from a couple days back that involved driving. Here's something we should all tell our children. As you travel through this thing called life, there's going to be people with dogs. And dogs are going to do things. Sometimes they're going to run up to you. Sometimes they're going to bark. Sometimes they're going to act weird. Don't be that put off by it.
Right.
You know,
take it aback.
Like this thing's like, "Ooh, what's going on?" It's like it's a dog, and then the dog lives here. And some dogs wag their tails, and some dogs bark, and some dogs do sort of something in between. Don't be confused or befuddled. People have dogs.
That's fair.
They have different temperaments. You know, the people that are like, you're with your dog and it's like trying to run up to the other dog or something. And people are like almost confused. Like, what's going on? It's like, it's a dog. Dogs say hi to other dogs.
We took Charlie on his walk today into the neighborhood about 4 or 5 times. Dogs inside the house or the fence or the yard or whatever went nuts because they're excited. They're protective, whatever. That's what dogs do. They're inside. That's why they're inside a fence, so they cannot attack your dog.
Most of my neighbors, and it is embarrassing. The dog scares people. I get it. And I say I'm sorry. Most neighbors go, "Hey, that's a dog doing what he's supposed to do." Right. Don't apologize to me. I'm like, "I love you. Thanks, pal."
The other thing I'm going to tell my children is when you're driving, sometimes people cut in front of you or they don't see you or they're attempting to do something. Don't be confused or befuddled. Like, I was pulling on to PCH a few days ago and I was turning left and it so happened. You know, certain things about driving are kind of timing, which is most of the cars are just going down PCH one direction or the other. So you have to kind of look to the left. Is anyone coming? If no one's coming, you can start. But every once in a blue moon, someone will be turning onto the street you're turning off of. They're slowing down and they're turning. Right. Now, meanwhile, you're looking to the left to make sure no cars are coming. No cars are coming, so you start heading out, and then you look to your right, and you see someone is slowing down and actually turning into the street you're leaving from. This woman gave me the, what is this? What's going on? Like, what's the meaning of this? Like, sort of hands flailing in the air. It's like, I'm pulling out onto a highway. I'm looking to the left because that's where the cars are coming from. I guess what? I saw you. I didn't hit you. I saw you. You, by the way, are doing a weird move where you're coming down PCH and turning onto a side street. So you got to cut me a little grace here. And our cars never came closer than 14 feet.
What's the problem?
She just like held it. Like, what's going on? Like, hands in the air. Like, what's happening? Like, let me tell you what's happening, bitch. Other people are driving.
There is some context.
Why are you confused by this? Why is it so off-putting? Like, oh, it's like, it's perfect context. I'm pulling out. I'm looking to the left. PCH, cars are going 60 miles an hour. You want to make sure you look to the left. If you can get, no one's coming to the left, you can kind of zip her in with the traffic. But if someone is turning left onto the street, I'll see them, but I won't see them until I'm done making sure no one's coming from the left. There's a context here. You're pulling into this weird side street and I'm pulling out. You could say, well, it's a little bit of timing. I mean, we've all had that thing where it's like, you know, that move where there's like a pedestrian and you're looking to the right and the pedestrian's coming the other direction and now it's clear and you start to move and they give you the what the fuck? It's like, it's just a timing thing.
Yep. Just timing.
Nothing personal.
But those interactions are a gift to people like that. That's how they look at it.
It's fuel.
They love it. They love reveling in it. The one that I encounter all the time, because I live off of a main street, and I'm sure you guys know this. I'm sure you've encountered this a million times. I fucking hate when you're turning either way off of a main street, right or left, and the cars can park on the main street. So it really obstructs your vision. You can't see who's coming at you.
Yes.
So you inch out, but there's another 4 feet in front of me until I arrive and have eyeballs and can see.
Right.
You can see me.
You can see the hood of a car. Yes.
And then they lay on their horn like I'm trying to kill somebody. And it happens to me every day.
I completely agree. Also, this woman gave the what the hell, like hands in the air. Mm-hmm. And then I do what I always do, which is to wave like, sorry, like I didn't see you. And then they come back with what's going. What's the meaning? It's like you're doubling down on the hands in the air.
You've acknowledged them and given the air to their fire.
But how confusing is life for you? Like, don't you feel like that's one big all life is you trying to make your way through something. While guess what? Other people trying to make their way through stuff. And every once in a while, somebody comes close to you.
Elevator door opens. She steps out. Guy steps forward.
What's the meaning of this?
Not that I wish this upon anybody, but imagine if this woman was ever raped while jogging. Could you imagine her? She'd be like, what? What? What is going on? This is an outrage.
I'm on her side now.
Well, I'm just saying, if she could be that upset by me driving my car, imagine she's ever a victim of a violent crime. All right. So, yes.
Whenever this happens to me, I have a move. It might be enforcing some racial stereotypes. I don't know. But it used to be – I used to just give the thumbs up or smile as like – because it would make them even more mad. But now what I've been doing is I've been leaning my head forward, squinting my eyes, and trying to look as Asian as possible.
Good.
Wow.
I know. And then I look at them, and they just do like the, oh, of course, and they just go. And they never – then it's over. It's over in a second.
You are setting a whole people back.
I know. It really has gotten me out of a lot of confrontation.
A lot of jams.
Give me some of those glasses Jerry Lewis wore in this in those 60s movies so I can see if I can pull this one off.
Yeah.
The ones for Breakfast at Tiffany's.
That's exactly right.
Was that Jerry Lewis?
No, that was
what's his fuck?
Not Milton Berle.
Another one. Rooney.
Yeah. Mickey Rooney.
Mickey Rooney.
That's it.
All right. I had a so the crow lady. We got the story. The crow lady is has some anxiety, so she's not coming on. But I want you to...
The crows gave her a look. She knew.
We'll tell you the story. Max Powell, I'll buy you a few seconds because I just wrote down Dennis Cole, the actor. I was watching Charlie's Angels. Dennis Cole, the actor.
Who was that?
He was this actor who looked like a Ken doll. Like he was He was the beach blonde, you know, dimples and this
handsome square cut fella.
Aryan type. And he was so here's a weird little game to play, everyone. So you watch Charlie's Angels. And you don't have to watch Charlie's Angels. You could watch The Bionic Woman if you want. Or The $6 Million Man, or Love Boat, any of the classics. Sure. You watch it, right?
Canon.
And when you see this guy, he's at the height of his powers, right? Because you're seeing Dennis Cole at age 33. He ends up marrying Jacqueline Smith, right?
Wow.
Right. So look, I don't know how much higher flying you can be than marrying arguably the hottest of the angels, of Charlie's Angels. I mean... If you marry one of Charlie's Angels while Charlie's Angels is on, you're at the fucking height of your powers, right?
Right.
So I'm always like, what happened with these guys? So just a little, just life, everybody, which is this guy, Dennis Cole, great looking guy, comes out here, does a guest arc on Charlie's Angels, probably meets Jacqueline Smith and then starts dating the hottest woman on the planet and then marries her. As you read on, so you read on with these guys. So you're watching them in 1981, you know what I mean? And you're like, you are at the height of your powers right now, best looking guy on the planet who married best looking woman on the planet. But how did it work after that? You know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I was reading about him. He'd do the Love Boat. He'd kind of make the rounds. He didn't see his 70th birthday. I think he died at 69, like kidney failure or something. So number one's like, well, he's dead. So it's not going that good. Number two, you know, he didn't get to Rush Limbaugh's age. And then it's like, his marriage with Jacqueline Smith lasted for 3 years. So it's like, all right. Then you keep reading. It's like his son was murdered and it was never solved.
That's terrible.
Jesus.
Like, what? So you're sitting around going, this guy's got the world by the tail.
Right.
I guess his only son was murdered, like in Hollywood, and unsolved.
Venice, actually.
Venice, California. Yeah. Never solved. Like, home invasion, whatever. And you go, all right. So, I don't know.
Lucky.
Was he blessed? I mean, he looked pretty damn good. But son was murdered. It was never solved. And he's dead, and so is his son. And Jacqueline Smith's still going good, though. What was his story, Max Zapata? Is that right?
The son or...
Yeah, how old was the son? Was he 19 or something?
His son Joe was 30.
Oh, 30.
Yeah, so him and Henry Rollins were assaulted by armed robbers outside
Henry
their...
Henry Rollins?
Yeah, they shared a home.
Wow.
He was like a roadie.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah, he was a roadie for Black Flag and the Rollins Band. So
wow.
Yeah, so Cole, his name is Joe Cole. So Joe and Henry were assaulted outside their shared home in Venice Beach. They attended a whole concert at the Whiskey A Go Go, and they're returning home after having stopped at an all-night grocery store. Two armed men, described as black and in their 20s, approached them demanding money. The guys only had $50 between them. The gunman ordered the two men to go inside their house for more cash. Rollins entered at gunpoint. However, Cole was killed outside after being shot in the face at close range, while Rollins escaped out the back door and alerted the police. Murder remains unsolved.
What year was that?
91. December of 91, yeah.
How'd I miss the whole Henry Rollins part of that story?
They went to a concert for Hole, the band.
Yeah. The Whiskey.
Yeah.
In 1991, they were ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
Well, that's why they were at the Whiskey and not at Staples Center.
Wow.
Yeah, so in an interview in 92, Rollins revealed that he kept a plastic container full of soil soaked with Cole's blood.
Oh, it's nice.
Yeah.
It's Rollins, isn't it?
Rollins.
Yeah. Wow. All right. So anyway, have fun. Yes. Have a scotch. Watch The Love Boat or Charlie's Angels and see how it panned out for a lot of the guest actors on that show. And then so he died. The actor died in Dennis Cole probably made it to like 2009 or something.
Yeah.
So that's a almost 20 years with your son's murder unsolved. That's got to be a pretty crappy final 18, 19 years on the planet.
Stick with you.
All right. So you got the crow story. Sorry, Donson.
Yeah, the headline is, I accidentally created an army of crow bodyguards. Am I liable if my murder attempts murder? To make a long story short, I'm the late 20s.
I'll bet you Joe Cole and Henry Rollins wish they had the fucking crows up on that Venice Beach cottage, right?
Lives. Yeah.
I'm a late 20-something living in Portland, Oregon. I had a pretty intense emo goth phase as a tween that I thought I had grown out of.
Can I say this? Who are the people that shoot people in the face after they come up to them and go, you got cash? It's like, no. Okay, I shall shoot that you blammo. In the face. Like, this hardly seems fair. It really doesn't, like, how much?
Or profitable.
What do you think? I have $2,800 in my back pocket. Like, how much money would you have on you at any given time? Is the over-under $31?
Yes. Yeah, it's high risk, low reward.
I know. Jesus Christ. All right, sorry.
A couple of months ago, I was watching a nature program on our local station about crows. The program mentioned that if you feed them and befriend them, crows will bring you small gifts. My emo phase came back full force, and I figured I was furloughed and had lots of time, so why not make some crow friends? My plan worked a little too well, and the resident five crows in my neighborhood have turned into an army 15 strong. At first, my neighbors didn't mind and enjoyed it. They're mostly elderly, and most were in a bird-watching club anyway. They thought the fact that I had crows following me around whenever I go outside was funny. Lately, the crows have started defending me. My neighbor came over for a socially distanced chat, me on the porch, her in her yard, her in my yard, and the crows started dive-bombing her.
Good. Anyone who goes to visit someone and stands out in the yard deserves to be dive-bombed by a crow.
They would not stop until she left my yard. They didn't make physical contact with her, but they got very close. Am I liable if these crows injure someone since I fed them? I obviously can't control the crows. I would rather them not attack my neighbors, but since I technically created this nuisance, could I be financially on the hook for any injuries? To be clear, they're not aggressive 100% of the time. If just the neighbors are out, they're friendly, normal crows. They only get aggressive when someone comes close to me or my property.
Poor Amazon guy.
That was a few months ago. Here's the update. So to make a long story short, I called our local Audubon Society. They didn't think feeding the crows was bad and suggested that the neighbors also start feeding them. So they essentially became better socialized. The plan worked, and the crows are now a beloved part of the community. They have no recent dive bombings. Most amazingly, the crows may have legitimately saved my neighbor. Our city had gotten pretty big ice and snow event recently. Like I said in my last post, most of the neighbors are older. One of my neighbors was walking down his steep driveway, slipped, and couldn't get back up. The crows started going ballistic and making more noise than we have ever heard. A different neighbor went outside to see what was up, found the gentleman in his driveway. Neighbor is mostly okay, just some serious bruises. Needless to say, the crows have been getting some high-value food since then. Thanks for all the help on my original post. It blew up way more than I was expecting, and I thought you guys would enjoy an update.
Well, crows, and then I think Dr. Drew tweeted me a couple days back saying that dogs are now sniffing cancer. Mm-hmm. They've trained the dogs to sniff cancer. This all...
What a world.
All the stuff I've been talking about. Was that a Wizard of Oz reference?
No, I'm like, what a time to be alive.
I know. I'm just picturing the monkeys flying around. Yeah. The, what a world.
That's a bit of a side reference.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Crows are going to start being used for security, and dogs are going to start sniffing cancer, and it's already on. Let's see. Aaron is kind of drunk.
Put him on.
All right. He's kind of drunk on line 4. Aaron, 37, Tennessee.
Hey, what's up, Adam? How you doing, man?
Hey, man. What's happening?
Oh, I was just calling in, dude. I had a random tweet, and I saw it, and I was like, dude, I have never actually had an opportunity to call these guys, so I thought I would. Caitlin noted that I've been drinking a little bit, but I figured it'd be fun to talk to basically one of my heroes, somebody I quote constantly throughout my entire life to all my friends, man. So thanks for your wisdom.
Thank you. And, what have you been drinking?
Yeah, wait, let me guess. You're drunk in Tennessee. I'm going with a sour mash.
I'm staying on theme. I'm going Old Crow.
Good Bloody Marys.
Dang, dude. So I've had a little bit of a concoctment, but that's not even a word. Jesus.
It should
but,
be, though.
Basically,
the fact that you knew that so fast is a good sign, Aaron.
Well, yeah. I like to mix. Sorry about that. What was that, Brian?
No, go ahead, man. You're good.
Okay. So I like to mix White Claws, basically, with vodka. So mm-hmm. it lowers the carbs even more. But then sure. I love whiskey. My wife hates yeah. it. So I save the whiskey nights for the nights that I know I'm not getting any nookie, if you mm-hmm. understand.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it.
He's yeah. got the, she's got the pillow on the bed. On one side says, not tonight. And then on the other side says, not tonight. Mm-hmm. So she puts that out. It's sort of
a loaded die. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. After four kids, that's all you have is a dice that rolls the aces every time.
Mm. How many of those kids are whiskey kids?
Actually, both my boys. They love whiskey. My daughter hates alcohol altogether.
I meant working.
Don't report me to CPS.
Yeah. How old are the boys?
So, goodness gracious, now make me do math. So they were.
I don't know if you have to do math.
Zero.
You just know it.
I'd ask you how many months they've been on the planet.
Gotcha.
Okay, that's where the math comes in.
5 years. 5 years and two.
Oh, okay.
Adam, he didn't know his age when we screened the call. He told Caitlin 36 or 37, I'm
Dude,
not sure.
Okay, I literally just had a birthday. I don't care about my age. Hitler had a birthday. They don't matter, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, by the way, that's coming up. I got to start decorating the place. I forgot about that.
Yeah, born in 84. In 84.
Oh, okay. All right, well, Aaron, thanks for calling. Thanks for the compliments.
Oh, sorry. Okay, Adam, I actually had a real question for you and a real comment.
Oh, tomorrow's our birthday. Tomorrow's our 12-year anniversary.
Holy moly.
So says Max Patton.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah.
Old enough for Aaron to give us whiskey. Adam,
that's right.
I know. Sorry for wasting your time with all
no,
this.
No, we love you.
Go ahead,
I've actually thought many times about everything I would want to talk to you guys if I ever had a chance. But Dr. Drew is constantly wondering, how have you guys changed? Just something for you to think about is... You've been asking Drew if he's ever watched The Shining. Sorry, I listened to Loveline from Giovanni from 30 mm-hmm. years ago. And you're constantly asking him, have you ever watched The Shining? I'd be curious, has he actually watched The Shining in the last 30 years? That's something that's pretty crazy. The other thing is he's wondering if you guys have ever changed. You got rid of me?
Yeah, no, you're there.
Go ahead.
Oh, all right. Well, he's always wondering if you've ever changed. Well, now Drew's kind of turned into like a 16-year-old that watches all these crazy little like tweener bopping shows, and he's never watched The Shining. And you're the only one that watches documentaries. Where if you can remember 30 years ago, you used to watch. I mean, your whole stick was masturbating and watching TV, right?
Now, well, I am back so, with Charlie Zane. I'm watching Starsky and Hutch. I'm watching The $6 Million Man. Somebody, thanks, Aaron. Gina, this is going to give some clarity, but also it should upset you more.
Yeah.
Somebody tweeted me that the beginning of The Bionic Woman, which was completely mailed in after the extravaganza of the opening sequence of The $6 Million Man, The Bionic Woman is like some sort of low-budget afterthought.
When she's doing leg lifts with a phone book on her feet?
Yeah, she's doing a leg lift with 20 pounds on the leg extensions. And then somebody said to me, oh, that's from the episode where she was introduced to the Bionic Man or something, and that was during her rehab. That's why the weight was so light. And I was like, well, even worse, they just took like stock footage from another episode instead of shooting their own opening.
That makes it so the only way they could even remotely redeem themselves is if this were the kind of show where the narration goes over it. And it's like, and then she was rehabbing.
Right.
But if that is supposed to be the thing that a new watcher knows about the show, that they've never seen the one episode where she's rehabbing her leg, that is fucking insane.
Well,
she was fired up.
It is so stupid.
Season 2, episode 19.
They did almost two full seasons before this was explained.
Yeah, let's see. She's lifting weight because she just had surgery and is in rehab. I don't know. It's still bad opening sequence stuff. You'll be happy to know that on the theme of Dennis Cole going on Charlie's Angels and getting married to Jacqueline Smith, one of the angels, before I left, I was watching the episode of The $6 Million Man where Farrah Fawcett played a news reporter, ended up finding love with Lee Majors. They took off in a dune buggy at the end of it, and Farrah Fawcett married Majors as well.
Yes. And do you want to hear another crazy piece of trivia that you may or may not be aware of?
Please.
Do you know that the song Midnight Train to Georgia is about Farrah Fawcett and Lee Majors?
Yeah. Well,
because
I know
it was supposed to be a midnight plane to Houston when she was talking about being with Lee Majors, but it became Midnight Train to Georgia.
I think we got into this. It was written by a friend of his that played like semi-pro football. And yes, that was
I heard
that.
This on a Mike Rowe episode of the way
we've,
I heard it.
We've discussed it on this show.
Yeah,
before.
First show of 2018.
But the also, it's so insane that he, Lee Majors, lost Farrah Fawcett to Ryan O'Neal. Ryan O'Neal was like the best looking dick swinginest coxman of the 70s in that Malibu had ever produced. And the notion that Lee Majors would take Farrah Fawcett in the height of her powers and Ryan O'Neal at the height of his powers and say, keep an eye on my wife, take her out, show her a good time. She's going to get lonely. I'm going to Canada to make a movie. How else would that turn out?
Yeah, that's a gift.
Yeah.
I always wonder when guys do that, are they saying, I don't want to be married anymore?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be a way out.
Do you think they know it? That's my whole thing.
Were they like best friends, Lee and Ryan?
I don't know, but the story was Lee Majors was married to her, and Lee Majors had to go film The Fall Guy or something, and he said, look after her. Take her out. Show her a good
Terrible
time.
Terrible idea.
Can you imagine that?
In retrospect, a poor decision.
I would say, yeah. Get Dennis Cole. You too. Take her out. Show her a good time. But I guess that was it. I guess she just took off with Ryan O'Neal after that. By the way, Ryan O'Neal, is he still alive? I guess he was so old school that he'd get the super old school Hollywood guys who would get in fist fights with their adult sons, throw down with adult sons. We shall duke it out now, adult son, with our fists.
We'll solve our differences. Yes.
And that's a good example of, if I'm remembering this correctly, physically abuse the sons, emotionally and mentally abuse the daughter.
That's true.
And don't show up when she gets her Oscar for a movie you did together.
Tatum O'Neal.
That's right.
Paper Moon.
Paper Moon.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Does anyone have a good life anymore? All right. Yeah, he's 79 years young.
Wow.
Farrah was, I guess, the love of his life.
Married. This is another example. Married twice, non-consecutively, to Farrah Fawcett from 79 to 97, then again from 01 to 09, where she died.
That's so strange when that happens.
All right. We got the Rotten Tomatoes game to play. All right. We'll take a break, come back, play the Rotten Tomatoes game right after this.